Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. प्रभुपाद की जय। गौ प्रेमानंदे। कृष्णाय कृष्णभक्ताय भजभक्ताय नमो नमः। So on behalf of the Gurudev, the Prabhupada, our Guru Bhargava, I would like to thank all of the devotees who have come here tonight who are eager for hearing Hari Katha. The topic that we've been discussing this week is Bhakti Tattva Vivek and Bhakta Tattva Vivek, a discrimination about the different gradations of Bhakti and Bhakta. In each one we're learning something to help us to avoid and something to emulate and follow. So tonight, depending on the amount of time we have, we will begin discussing the life and story of the lessons that we can learn from the story of Ambarish Maharaj. And I would like to call upon Sriman Krishna Bhajan Prabhu to open, speaking perhaps for 10 to 15 minutes, and then I will call on some other speakers tonight to help us in understanding this Upakshana instruction. Hare Krishna. So I'm remembering how in the Brajmandal Prakram Kartik this year we started also without Gurudev's association, and we were all feeling so much separation from Srila Gurudev, but gradually we all began to feel his association in a different way, and very much Gurudev was present. So after I speak, with the permission of all the devotees here, I ask some of the other exalted Vaishnavas to speak a little bit also besides Ambarish Maharaj of this separation mood of our Gurudev, and to imbibe deeply our association with Srila Gurudev even when he's not physically in our presence. So King Ambarish Maharaj, very, very exalted saintly king, came in family. His grandfather was King Nabada, and his father was King Nabaga, with a long age. And King Ambarish was the emperor of the entire earth planet, all seven dvipas, all seven continents or islands. And so much opulence did King Ambarish possess, we cannot even imagine. This was Satyayuga. In the age of Kali, for instance, my place of birth is the USA. Our president there has so much false ego because he is in charge of just a little country, not just even a part of one continent. And other presidents and personalities who are in charge of governments throughout the world similarly have this false ego. It's so strong. And then we see that even administrators of cities and counties have strong false ego. Even to be in charge of one's family, one has a false ego of, I am this body, I am the husband or wife of this family, and I have this house and property. In the age of Kali, even a pauper is proud of his penny, thinking this is very nice. So King Ambarish On the contrary, although so much opulence, sometimes he would have sacrifices. Goranga. Sometimes he would perform sacrifices, and the brahmanas were so opulently decorated, even the demigods were pleased by the performance of these yajnas. And sometimes after the yajnas, he would give cows in sacrifice in charity. He explained 60 lakhs of cows he donated to the brahmanas and saintly persons after these yajnas. So 60 crores actually. 60 crores, that's about 12 million cows. And each one of them, their horns were completely gold-plated and their hooves were plated with silver. And they were full of milk bags because they had calves also. So 12 million cows with their calves. There was so much opulence. But King Ambarish, however, even though there was so much opulence that he possessed, he was not attached to any of that. Actually, there's one verse in the Bhagavatam that says that it considered it all to be no more than a piece of stone. Because he had so much devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and daily he was hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord. So, in the verse, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Parasevanam Archanam Bandaram Dasham Sakyam Atmani Vedanam, King Ambarish was the example of all these nine processes of devotional services in total. Maharaj Pariksit was attained perfection by the hearing, and Sukadeva Goswami by the process of chanting, Prahlad Maharaj by the process of hearing, etc., etc. King Bali Maharaj in Atmani Vedanam. So Ambarish Maharaj was so exalted in his devotional qualities. There's one verse in the Bhagavatam, Sadai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayo Vachansi Vaikuntha Gunarna Varnane Karo Harer Mandira Manjan Adishu Shruti. Excuse me. And then Mukunda Lingalaya Darshane Rishal. So, Saivai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayo. He engaged his mind constantly in thinking of the two lotus feet of Krishna. So, if Madhava Maharaj was here, I was going to say that he elects to do rhyme, so I was going to chant the rhyme that they have for Gurukul. So, two lotus feet that can't be beat, what a treat. No one can compete unless they see. So, but he's not here. So, he engaged his mental capacity always in remembering the lotus feet of the Lord. He engaged his hands in cleansing the temple of the Lord. He engaged his sense of hearing, his ears in hearing the glories of the Supreme Lord. Sat Kata, Hari Kata, always so much he was engaged in hearing the glories of the Lord. He engaged a sense of touch in touching the devotees of the Lord, his head in bowing down before the Lord, his feet in walking through the transcendental holy places, the pilgrimage, the temples. His sense of smell, he engaged in smelling the garlands offered to the Lord and the tulsi leaves offered and tulsi manjaris offered to the Lord. Engaged all of his desires completely, and because of this, he developed complete detachment from everything and all of his opulence. So there's so many examples from King Ambarish that devotees will express tonight. So Maharaj Pariksit inquired from Sukadeva Goswami about the exalted character of Ambarish Maharaj, because even though Durvasa Muni was such a great, great, powerful Muni, feared all over the universe, and tending towards anger. So he expressed this and cursed Ambarish Maharaj for a very, very insignificant act. How could that powerful curse be nullified? What was the glories of Ambarish Maharaj to be able not to be affected by that powerful curse? So the story takes place of King Ambarish to exemplify that,
that we'll hear about more tonight. So also, I'd like to make a little commercial announcement. We have many, many months until next year's Kartik Festival. So for one moment, if everybody could raise their hands that went this year to Brudge Wendell Parikram, if you could raise your hands, if I could get an idea of who, wow, who went this year to Kartik. So that's a lot of hands, and hopefully next year that will triple or quadruple. We all really recommend you to come, and Gurudev has explained that actually the Kartik Festival is this principle of that Ambarish Maharaj is exemplifying. Of all these principles of the nine principles of devotion combined is the Kartik Festival, because you're using your feet to every day walk to the holy places of pilgrimage. You're in touching the bodies of devotees, especially when you go through small doors and there's 500 devotees that have to get through there. Also, taking Krishna Prasadam, and hearing the wonderful glories of Supreme Lord and his activities in the very places that he performed those activities, touching the dust of those places and hearing from the mouths of pure devotees and his representatives these descriptions, very, very powerful and transforming. And they go deeply in the heart, and it's a very wonderful experience. So all of you, please come next year and start now, and don't think that it's the cartel is getting ready. So thank you very much, and I pray to all the devotees here that thank you for being tolerant, and that I may continue in my sincerity. I give so much thanks to our Srila Gurudev, who is illuminating the path of devotional service again that my Srila Prabhupada has given me. Thank you very much.
Jnanandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama. First, I offer my unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my Paramarajatama Diksha Guru Pada Padma Nitya Lila Pravishta Om Vishnu Pad Astotra Sita Sri Srimad Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and the same unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my Paramarajatama Siksha Guru Pada Padma. Om Vishnu Pad Astotra Sata Sri Srimad Srila Bhaktivedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj. To all of our Guru Varga and all the assembled devotees. So Sripad Krishna Bhajan Prabhu was very nicely delineating the glories of the qualities of Maharaj Ambarish. And he was observing Ekadasi. And now came the time for Dvadasi Padan. Incidentally, this word Padan, as you all might know, is the prasadam taking which breaks the Ekadasi. And when I met Gurudev 26 or 27 years ago, I thought I'd never heard this word padan before. I never heard Prabhupada mention it. But now, today, when I was reading the pastime of Maharaj Ambarish, sure enough, Prabhupada used the word padan. When the Lord is speaking to Durvasa Muni, to explain that actually Durvasa Muni was not being offended by Maharaj Ambarish, but he was simply trying to follow the Shastra and take Ekadasi Padan or Dvadasi Padan. Also, when Gurudev was telling this Leela in Mathura, he was giving very interesting insights into the conversation between Durvasa Rishi and Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha. As you all know, when the Sudarshan Chakra was sent by Lord Narayan to destroy the fire demon sent by Durvasa Rishi, and once the fire demon was destroyed, then Sudarshan Chakra ran after Maharaj Durvasa himself So Durvasa first went to Lord Brahma, first he went into the oceans, into the sky, into the caves, into the forests. Everywhere in the universe he went to hide, but there was no hiding place. Just behind him, he could feel the heat of the Sudarshan Chakra. And what kind of heat was that? It was a heat like the devastation of the universe. So finally, he went to Lord Brahma to get relief. And Lord Brahma told him that myself and Lord Shiva, what can we do to save you? Because when the Lord wants to destroy the entire cosmic manifestation with innumerable planets, simply by the movements of his eyebrows, we're totally helpless to do anything. How can I save you? So feeling very disappointed, Durvasa Muni went to Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva also told him that I am a knower of past, present, and future. Not only myself, but all great sages, Vyasadeva, Brahma, Kapila, all the great sages and manifestations of the Lord are all knowers of past, present, and future. But we cannot do anything when the Lord wants to do something else. Simply by his wish, innumerable universes are created and destroyed. Simply by his glance, the entire Mahatattva is created with all the elements and all the universes, and innumerable Brahmas are created and destroyed. So what can I do to help you? Better if you go directly to Bhagavan himself. Maybe he can help you. Surely he'll help you. He'll forgive you and he'll help you. So when Srila Gurudev was speaking about the conversation between Durvasa Muni and Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha. Now this was not that Vaikuntha, those Vaikuntha planets beyond the Mahatattva. This is a special Vaikuntha planet within this universe, and it is called Rama Priya Vaikuntha. It's lower than the other Vaikuntha planets, although it's also transcendental. But Durvasa Muni, not being a devotee, was not able to reach those higher Vaikuntha planets. On the other hand, Durvasa Muni is the greatest devotee. He's a premi bhakta. But being completely free from false ego, he's not interested that the whole universe should criticize me. It doesn't matter. And we are, aren't we? We're all criticizing Durvasa Muni. We, on this planet, and in all the planets of the universe, were criticizing him. And he doesn't care at all. His only desire is that pure devotees get glorified, even at his expense. So he's such an exalted devotee that he's even in the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. Krishna and the cowherd boys, and even Krishna and the gopis. He even converses and is offered obeisances by the gopis. Once, the cowherd boys were enjoying pastimes together by wrestling and mock fighting. And Durvasa Rishi was sitting in meditation, and as he looked around, opening his eyes, he saw Krishna and Sridham and the other cowherd boys wrestling. And he's in the role of a Brahmagyani, that is, in the impersonalist yogi. But he had some conception that what is this boy? Is he an ordinary boy? Or is he a manifestation of the great Brahman? Or is he the supreme personality of Godhead or what? He was completely dumbfounded, not knowing what to think or what to do. In the meantime, Krishna approached him and plopped himself on his lap and began pulling on his beard. And he said, "Oh, Baba, please tell us. Sridham says he's the winner of this wrestling match, but I know that I'm the winner." See, everybody, all the boys thought that Sridham was the winner, and they were all clapping for Sridham. But Krishna was clapping for himself. And he had told, Sridham said, I'm the winner. But Krishna said, no, I'm the winner because my nose was up and your nose was down. Therefore, I am the winner. Although Krishna was the one who was flat. So he said to Durvasa Muni, tell us, Baba, who is the winner, me or Sridham? You know that I was, right? But Durvasa Muni was in so much ecstatic trance, amazed that this personality was sitting on his lap, he opened his mouth, but he couldn't say anything. So Krishna said, what are you, dumb or deaf, Baba? Why don't you say something? So Sridham went over and said, yes, I think you're deaf and dumb. That's why you're not saying anything. You know that I won. Finally, Krishna and Sridham both said, ah, he's deaf and dumb. He doesn't know anything. But in the meantime, what was happening? Durvasa Muni saw himself entering into the mouth of Krishna, and within the body of Krishna, he was seeing all the universes. And then he came out completely dumbfounded. So he's also in the pastimes of Krishna. And also he conversed with the gopis. And the gopis came to bring him so much prasadam to get his benediction. And he joked with them. And the gopis told Krishna about him when they came back from the other side of the Jamuna to give him all the prasadam. So he's not an ordinary personality. Once, he was looking everywhere in Dwarka for someone to host him. But everybody knew his nature, so no one was about to host him. So finally, Krishna and Rukmini agreed to host him. And what happened? He refused to accept any of Krishna's prasadam, but in the middle of the night, he demanded puris and so many other opulent dishes. Fortunately, Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and he knew ahead of time, so he had everything ready. One day, Durvasa Muni ordered Rukmini to be his, not his chariot driver, but to be his horse of his chariot. And when she couldn't pull the chariot, he whipped her. And he even put sweet rice all over the body of Krishna. So Krishna and Rukmini were tolerating, and they kept offering him respects. Because in Vedic culture, one treats a guest like God. So Krishna and Rukmini were doing so. Everybody else was ready to beat him, but Krishna and Rukmini were very tolerant. So in the end, Durvasa Muni told Krishna and Rukmini in front of everyone, I was just doing this to test you, and now I've shown that you two are the greatest personalities in terms of your dealings with others. And then Gurudev said, and all of you should be like Krishna and Rukmini and treat your guests in this way. So he's not an ordinary person. But to glorify, just like Ramchandra's Kaikeya, you all know Kaikeya, and you all probably hate her also, because she's the one who made her husband die in separation from Lord Ram, and she's the one that created all that pathos in Ram Lila. But why did she do this? Because Ram told her when he was very young, I want you to do me a favor that no one else can do. I want you to perform this Lila. She said, I can't do it. He said, if you don't do it, I won't be able to leave home. I won't be able to go to the forest. I won't be able to kill Ravana and perform all my pastimes. So she did it, although she's hated till today by the entire universe. But she is the greatest lover of Ram. Similarly, Durvasa Muni. So he went to Rama Vaikuntha trying to get some escape from this Sudarshan Chakra who was burning him. And Gurudev told one commentary by Srila Viswanath Chakrabarti Thakur, a conversation that took place that wasn't exactly in the Bhagavatam. In the Bhagavatam, Lord Narayan told Durvasa Muni certain things about Maharaj Ambarish, about his own devotion and his own, meaning Bhagavan's own, surrender to Maharaj Ambarish. And Maharaj Ambarish, according to the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, he immediately went to the Lord and said, oh, as ascended your devotee, please give me some relief from your punishment that you're giving me for this. And Lord Narayan said that Maharaj Ambarish has given so much to me. He's completely free from material desires. He's given up his family, his children, his wife, his wealth, his kingdom for me. So therefore, I'm indebted to him. And therefore, I cannot save you. You must go to Maharaj Ambarish himself. After all, the sadhus live in my heart, and I also live in the heart of the sadhus. They are my very self, and I am their very self. Therefore, you should go to Maharaj Ambarish. You should remember that even the learning and austerities of a person who is not gentle, even though learning and austerities is generally a very good thing, we know that, but in the hands of a non-gentle person, one who's not really a brahmana, these things work against him and only do dangerous things, just like the jewel on the head of a cobra. Also, you should know that if somebody tries to harm my devotee, then that very person who tries to harm my devotee is himself harmed, as in the case with Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad Maharaj. So this conversation is going on according to the verses. And Maharaj Durvasa Muni has surrendered right from the beginning. But according to the Leela that Gurudev told in Mathura, for 3 days he gave classes on Maharaj Ambarish. And in these days he told the commentary of Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur that Durvasa Muni went to Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha, and he went to complain, actually, about Maharaj Ambarish. He said, I am a Brahmin. This person is merely a Kshatriya. He doesn't know how to respect a Brahmana. I never accept invitations from anyone. But because he showed me so much respect, therefore I accepted his invitation. And what did he do? He ate before me, before I came back from taking my bath. So, you should protect me. And then Bhagavan said to him, why should I protect you? What have you ever done for me? Maharaj Ambarish, and again the verse is there, Maharaj Ambarish gave up everything for me. In fact, he didn't even care about his own body. When you sent that fire demon, and this was no ordinary fire demon, this was like the fire at the time of devastation, that kind of fire. When that fire demon went to kill him, he just stood in one place with folded palms remembering me and meditating on my pastimes. He was fully surrendered unto me. His body, his mind, everything was surrendered unto me. And before that, his whole kingdom was surrendered to me. But what have you ever given to me? You can't even give up your own bodily conception and false ego for me. Simply because my pure devotee was trying to follow the scriptures and observe Padan, you wanted to kill him. And he was so peaceful when your weapon came, but when my personal weapon came, you consider yourself a brahmana, but it was my personal weapon came, and that was me myself. Sudarshan Chakra is a manifestation of the Lord himself. Sudarshan, Krishna's glance, very, very excellent glance that created the entire material cosmos, that destroys all wickedness and all anarthas, that creates the entire, all the elements of the material world, and gives a vision of the Lord. Without the mercy of Sudarshan Chakra, no one can see the Lord as he is. And that is why Sudarshan Chakra is there with Jagannath, Subhadra, and Baladev, and Sudarshan Chakra. Because without the mercy of Sudarshan Chakra, everyone will see Jagannath only as the Lord of the universe. He'll never understand why Lord Jagannath got that form. By melting, hearing from Rohini Devi in Dwarka about the love of the gopis and the love of Srimati Radhika. That's how Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra melted and became those forms. Their forms are the melted forms of being absorbed in Vrindavan Prem and Gopi Prem. So without the mercy of Sudan Chakra, no one can know this, and therefore he's also standing with them. So in this way, Gurudev was explaining different aspects of the conversation that was not in the verses. But today, when I read Srila Prabhupada's purport, all of those conversations, which are not in the verses, but which is in Srila Viswanath Chakrabarti Thakur's commentary, are in Srila Prabhupada's purport, showing once again that Guru is one, and showing once again that Prabhupada did give us so many more things that we didn't see, and now that we're hearing from Srila Gurudev, we're seeing that Prabhupada had it already in stock for us. Even after Bhagavan is explaining all these things to Durvasa Muni says, why are you just seeing his good qualities? Why don't you see my good qualities? How I'm a Brahmin and how he didn't respect me. So Lord Vishnu said, I'm getting more and more angry at hearing your ridiculous arguments. Now you must go. In fact, I would have killed you already. You would have been already dead because of what you did to Maharaj Ambarish. In fact, you weren't only doing it to him. Because the sadhu is in my heart and I am in his heart, I have no independence. My mind is already given to my pure devotees. I can't think how to save you. My mind is already in his heart. Plus, the reason that you're still alive right now is because he's praying for you right now. You tried to kill him, but he's praying for you. And therefore, I didn't kill you. But of course, there's another reason that he didn't kill him, and that's because he's his pure devotee. Anyway, there's so many layers of things going on, and both Prabhupada and Srila Gurudev are giving us all these secrets.